Well, welcome to Yada Yada Radio. My pleasure to be with you. We have James here and Kirk and Larry, a full cast of characters. How are you, fellas?
Good evening.
Doing good.
Good. You know, today I received a wonderful present in the mail. I think it was Friday at the end of our program. Scott reminded me that Standy, who worked for a printer called Claritors, C-L-A-I-T-O-R-S, Claritors, Law Books and Publishing Division, that she had arranged to have Yada Yada printed in two volumes, Intro to God and Questioning Paul, all printed as they're quite thick volumes. They're basically 1,000 pages apiece. And Scott reminded me of them. I said, "Hey, what, Scott? I'll buy them if you'll arrange to have a set sent to me and a set sent to you." And so on my doorstep, midday today, just I think he only ordered them on Monday, and here it is Friday. I received my first set of printed Yada Yada in two volumes, Intro to God and Questioning Paul. You know, it's a it's a foot thick of reading materials. But, you know, when I've only been able to read them on a computer screen, it's pretty neat to have them bound
into a
book. Nice
having hard copy.
Oh,
yeah, there are
my.
People buying them. There are people buying them in Unpopular. I mean, I believe that's where it got put together at. And there was, like, we've got one lady over in South Africa.
Yes.
That received her copy.
Yes.
Renee is her
name. In fact, Jackie was talking to me about it today, and Jackie and Sandy, who is the person who arranged for this to be done and is came up with the idea of offering it through Unpopular Truth, Jackie has been my most engaged and helpful, comprehensive editor of all of these books. She's been a godsend in terms of editing all of the books, and she talk regularly, and the woman in South Africa, I think they also chat regularly. Kirk, I did want to, and I sent you an email just a few minutes ago, there's only one thing that is less than great about having these, and that is that we have very inconsistent covers. The cover itself is quite nice. The material is made up. They're well-bound, beautifully put together. I mean, I'm delighted with what I got. I'm more than happy and pleasantly surprised with how good they turn out. But they could definitely use an artist touch in terms of the titling. I think they just printed in one color, so it's not going to get overly fancy. Mm-hmm. But it'd be wonderful if you think that talking with Sandy, if you could create something that jazzes up the covers just a bit.
I'll see what I can do. But, absolutely.
I appreciate it. When I wrote Jackie, I said, you know, she knew an artist that might be able to help us out here. Anyway, that
works cheap too.
Yeah, works really cheap. You actually worked for a extraordinary inheritance, but from working apart from that. But I do want to say it is marvelous. If you want to buy them, if you're listening to this program, it's claitors.com is the name of the company. And if you click on that, what you will find is a search our site on the left side. And there's a field that you can put in, and you can put in Intro to God, for example. You can put just Intro to God. You can put Questioning Paul. You can put Yada Yada. And then I fill in by title as the means of the search and click search. It'll take you right to the books. Intro to God, for example, is $39.95. And I tell you, $39.95 for a book for, you know, printing one at a time, a book that's 1,000 pages long?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a value to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to everybody know that I am making my standard royalties on all of these, so it's really important that you buy them
That's what made you the great businessman you are.
Yeah.
Standard royalty of zero.
Zero.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah, zero.
That's pretty standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I did more than just work on zero on these. I gave them the rights to print them, no matter who asked at any time, and not only the rights to print them, but to sell them and to so they have full rights to the books.
Wow.
And so it is. I just think it's a marvelous way to now have them and be able to hold them and read them when you want to read them. I spent some time today that I had free reading them. The other thing I would like to say is during our program today, we returned to, on Shattering Myths, to the 23rd Psalm. And Kirk, I know you've prepared material on it. I began to translate it earlier today. I didn't get very far. Too much stuff going on right at the moment. And I don't have any problem dealing with the first two verses of it, but I'm also eager to finish the 119th Psalm, and that we are now on the 119th Psalm. We are just eight verses from concluding our review of it, and so to go off and begin on this program, the 23rd, in the midst of that, probably not ideal. So I do want to finish the 23rd Psalm with you, but maybe we'll return to it on Monday on Shattering Myths, if that's all right.
Sure. I'm going to take a quick hiatus, though. I'm going to run down and get my 119. So
okay.
I'm still here, Roger. You just won't hear me for a minute.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I had told you we were going to do the 23rd Psalm today, and I have no problem starting it.
No. I just got everything downstairs.
It is powerful. I would really like to be able to finish the 119th Psalm.
Absolutely.
While he is going to get his material, though, I know that Larry and James, you guys both work and don't always get to hear the Shattering Myths program. But Kirk brought up the 23rd Psalm on Thursday, and we began to review it Thursday and again today. And I just thought that that opening line was so effective for reinforcing what we've come to know. You know, it's translated in every Bible, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But
horrid translation.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
not what
I'm guessing we'll find the line. We'll find it wanting. Isn't that right? I mean, that's
insightful. Yes, far more insightful. Well, first of all, the first word is Yahweh, and then it Dode is declaring that Yahweh is his shepherd, and that's pretty powerful, because what did Dode do for a living?
Yeah, he was a shepherd. That's what he did.
So this guy who is a shepherd says, I get why I was a shepherd, because I can understand Yahweh's role, because he is my shepherd. And when you think about shepherd and the words that follow, we have a reinforcement of why he designated cud as an important criterion for that which is nourishing, that which is good for us to eat. Because, you know, sheep graze, why he designated himself as the as a lamb in both of his titles, whether it's Ab, Father, or El, God, while he has the ram's head as showing his identity. He's not only the shepherd, he's one of the flock. I mean, that's the most amazing thing about God. God doesn't want us to view him as God. He wants us to view him as an individual, like one of us. He wants to be one of us, in the sense of he depicts himself as one of the sheep in his name and in his title. So you've got a shepherd talking about the things that shepherds do, and how this shepherd says that my shepherd is Yahweh, protects, nourishes, observes, cares for, and the word that was chosen for shepherd is ra'ah, which means to see, to observe, to pay attention. You know, all the things that Yahweh encourages us to do with regard to him if we want to be part of his flock. And then it says, Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall never be diminished. I shall never be abated. I shall never be nullified.
That is just an awesome realization. That are, you know, implications from what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, you know, I realize that 99.9% of souls are going to simply cease to exist. Not me. And not me because I'm guided by Yahweh. I'm protected by Yahweh. So I will never be avoided. My soul will never be diminished in nothingness. So much better than the trivial nature of I shall not want. So it's fun to do it, and we're going to continue to examine what each of the words mean, and we'll begin doing it on Shattering Myths and then continuing it on this program. That being said, you know, some years ago I wrote these words, and I just like to read them because they still resonate with me. It was almost 150 pages ago that we began our review of this, the longest and most important psalm. For me, it's been a wonderful voyage of discovery, and I'm glad that you have joined me during this exploration of the Torah. It's, quite frankly, it is my favorite part of the Torah prophets' Psalms. 119th is for me, as good as it gets. I wrote, while I'm not qualified to carry Dode sandals, I still feel a special kinship with him. I think we think similarly. I don't think as well, I don't think as clearly, I don't think as deeply or as profoundly, but I think similarly, which means that I think by making connections. So does he. And we share many of the same flaws and passions. So while I cannot wait to meet him in person, I feel like I already know him. There is no one amongst the individuals that Yahweh chose to reveal himself to that I am more anticipating meeting than doubt. And one of the things that I've come to appreciate is why Yahweh loved this man more than any other. You know, Larry, back in the day that you were catching lots of heat and emails sent to me about being too harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we go back 2 or 3 years ago. I haven't got an email like that in years, but I did. I got a bunch of them, and you know, I shared them with you, and I said, don't change. What I constantly told people is that he's real. He hates what God hates. I hate what he hates. He's just a person who is going to wear his view of people right up front. He is going to tell you what he thinks. And when I look at Dode, I see the same thing. Dode's not doesn't draw back and say, you know, I know I'm speaking for God, so I better be really careful here how I phrase this. I don't want to come across as harsh and judgmental. I don't want to use the hate word, so let me be careful in the phrasing. No. He says, I hate him. I despise him. If you're opposed to the Torah, I've got no use for you. You're scum. It struck me that Doe's approach and Larry, your approach, just the same.
Well, I'm not qualified to carry, you know, Doe's shoes either, but I have to say I don't mind being mentioned in the same line with them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I see a lot. I see a lot in common. Now, people have different likes and dislikes. I know all of us. I mean, that's the reason why, you know, people choose different partners and different friends. I like strong personalities. Always have. I like people that are really upfront and blunt and bold and right in your face. That's the kind of people I like. I like people you can be sarcastic with, too, and that you can kid with and, you know, that don't have thin skin. So if you do say, you know, maybe we ought not have done it that way, they're not going to get all offended. They say, yeah, well, maybe, you know, okay. You know, we can work through that. And I see Dode as that kind of person. I think God constantly say, hey, come on, pal. Tone it down a bit.
I'm guessing Dud was the kind of guy you could say, come on, man, lighten up, and he'd laugh.
Lighten
you know,
up.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and he'd say, all right. I just see Dud is being the kind, well, it's meaningless how I see him. What's meaningful is that he was an in-your-face, blunt, very aggressive, leap before you look, fearless, totally and completely courageous, very compassionate man. And this man, who had flaws up the yin-yang, Yahweh loved more than any other in all of human history. So it tells you that Yahweh likes real. He doesn't like people that pussyfoot around. He doesn't like people who are spineless. Stand up. You know, if you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman,
yeah,
be a woman.
It's pretty odd that really religion teaches the opposite of that. Have you ever seen people there? They begin to talk. I was thinking about a fellow the other day that I had ran into, and I was talking about the Moed Mikra and Yahusha. This was a while back, and he said something, and he said to Jesus, and I said, no. Hassus was a Druid sect, and he said real lovingly, he goes, yes, Hassus. And I thought, you fraud. I mean, why did you have to change your tone of voice and even become a boob in order to say the name? You know what I mean here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. When my wife and I had first gotten together, we had a friend who was married to a woman who, and I think he was genuine with her, but she was so nice all the time that after you were together, you almost felt like, you know, I need to take a shower. Yeah. I did business one time with a man who was that nice, and his wife was that nice, and oh my God, when you left him, you said, ah! it was so drippy and so gooey, but you know, it was real with them, but nonetheless, God, I don't like it.
Have diabetes.
No, just
so sweet.
And, you know, and Dode's not that. Dode occasionally waxes poetic. He does. And you know, Dode is one to show emotion.
But he's writing music too. I mean, you do wax
poetic.
Yeah,
he is writing music. But there is there are 20 parts of thoughtful, evidence based. Rational presentations of information and connections and conclusions for everyone. Well, you know, that really makes me all warm and fuzzy. And that gives me goosebumps. So, yeah, does he say,
well, you
I
know,
get goosebumps? Yes. He says, I love, but it's 20 to 1.
Yeah, what strikes me about the 119th, you know, I said, you know, when I started this journey, I realized that a person would have to be like Noah or Lot or Dode. I mean, they would have to be. I realized that, you know, that nothing that was considered righteous is. And what I came to realize, especially through the 119th, and of course, you know, it's all confirmed through Yahweh's words, is that there aren't anybody righteous. I understand what that means now. You know, you used when you went to a church, you said, there are none righteous except, you know, the one.
No,
you know,
not
on and on. And of course, you didn't understand why that was. You believed then or what you thought or were led to believe was that the more you believed in him, then you could yourself make yourself righteous. When the truth is, you know, the perfection is going to come from the path. It's never about the man. And that's what Dode's saying. You know, look at all this stuff I did when I was young. I thought I was big time. And it was nothing.
Right.
And Dode did more to advance Yahweh's words probably than any of us could have ever thought of doing.
Predicted Pesach, Matzah, and Bikkurim 1,000 years before they occurred.
Yeah, well, I mean, so that's a lot more than any of us could
Dode
have possibly
was only the, was
done.
Not only the first king of the United Yisrael. The reunited Yisrael, when Yahweh returns, is modeled after his kingdom.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're sitting there looking at what he says is, you know, what he did didn't amount to squat.
Didn't amount to anything.
Yeah, that's his position. Yeah.
Okay, so you don't.
And that's amazing.
The bottom line is you don't work your way to vindication. But by the same token, this guy was real, and he says, you know, I got more faults than I got hairs on my head. So you can't work your way out of vindication either. So you can't work your way to it. You can't work your way out of it. So somebody else does the work.
So you'd better be reliant on the one doing the work, and that's what Dode came to know. He just said, I want to be able to respond properly to your Torah. That's it.
Yeah.
That was the key to it all.
Right.
And that's,
I want to observe what you said so that I know what you said. I want to be in, make the connection so I understand it. I want to respond to it. And once I do that, he says, I have total confidence that everything is going to be great and that I'm going to inherit everything. In fact, he gets so blunt, he says, you know, I'm coming with the Torah in my hand. You can't keep me out.
Yeah, but that's, you know, and that goes to show again, just to reiterate, this is why religion is backwards. You know, just like they get on their knees in front of God. When Yahweh says, look, I'll get on my knees. I don't need you to get on your knees. I'll pick you up. Come on now. So they got it all backwards to where they become perfect and walk towards him. Except they're accepted because they are perfect. I mean, I know they don't say that, but that really is the underlying theme. You know, they're all so wonderful and kind and loving. And, oh, my God, it's just, you know,
could
the
you,
ooze of it. You know,
could you imagine a religious person saying something like that? Saying, you know, I don't care what you say, God, I'm coming because I've got this.
No.
They don't have that kind of relationship.
With
their God.
No.
And that is Terry Hastings had said to me, or had done it stuck with me. It was some years ago. He was on a post with me, and Terry had said that somebody said that they were going to meet their maker, and they'll be judged for what they've done. And I think he said, you know, if you want to meet Yahweh on that plane, you're going to lose.
I'm banking
you know?
On not being judged.
Yeah,
that's my plan.
Yeah, that's the point and that's Dode's point in this 119th, really.
It's how superior it is to know versus to believe. How superior it is to have complete confidence in knowing and understanding as opposed to faith. Yeah, there's no faith here. There's no belief here. It's complete understanding and therefore total confidence. And it reads right through the words. And when you really look at what he had to work with, he had far less to work with than we do. I look at it as his situation is that all he had was a comprehensive understanding of the Torah and some pretty impressive inspiration relative to prophecy and proper training as a shepherd. But we have vastly better insights and better tools and better access than he did. Puts us in a much stronger position. But, you know, if you look at this fellow, Dode, whom name has been corrupted to David. I would say that he is the, in terms of a son during the earthly life, you know, we're all sons and daughters in the covenant. But as far as a person during their earthly existence, I think Dode was as close to a son as God ever had. Person that was the most like him, person that was the most passionate about him, person that understood him better than anyone else, person that was the most excited, most interested in doing what he was interested in doing.
I agree. I mean, he was. I certainly that's the way it's spelled out. I mean, I got a soft spot for all these guys. Okay, whether it's him or Zach or Yah or Yashaya or Eliyah. Daniel, I mean, I, you know, it's somebody said it'll be amazing to meet Dode. Well, absolutely, it's going to be amazing to meet any of the the people we call prophets. You know, that's going to be an astounding, phenomenal day. You know, I mean, I almost won't believe it when I'm doing it. You know, it's just
to listen to them explain how this process transpired. Because it's a very different process for us. We're taking the time, using the tools we have, and analyzing each of the words and the letters that comprise the words. That's not how they were given what we're reading. And so it would be particularly exciting to see, you know, where'd the voice come from? How did they take dictation here? If they made a mistake, how was it corrected? Even to have the original autograph. Like, I would love to have the original autograph of the Torah. It's sitting right by the Ark of the Covenant, directly below Golgotha. It'd be fascinating.
That would be nice.
To have it. Yes, and at that point, you'd have a perfect copy. So, here are the last eight statements brought to us all by the last of the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. We've gone through static here. I don't know who is the static individual, but do we ever have static?
There is a good bit of static. I'm going to hang up and I'll see if it's me. I'll call back in, okay? I can't tell. I don't think it is.
Okay. Here's the last eight statements brought to us by the letter Tau. We've gone through 22 letters thus far. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This is the last of the 22. Kirk, why don't you share what the letter Tau is drawn to depict and what it means?
Sure. It's a poling beam. It's a cross beam, like a T. And it's an upright pole, Passover, doorway, supports the tent for the family home. It's also, it's equivalent to the Thet, which is usually drawn as a circle with an X, with cross sticks, which is sign, which like Zion is a mark, like X marks the spot. Yah's signature and also a monument. So that's about everything.
Yeah. If you were to be out in the wilderness, and it was your job to not only blaze a trail, but to mark that trail so people knew the path to follow. Would you pick up a stake, and would you put your sign on the stake so that your sign marking the way would look like this letter Tau?
It wouldn't be a bad idea.
You're pretty hard to beat that. In fact, signs that I have seen, whether it be road signs or signs on hiking trails, they look just like this letter, don't they?
Mm-hmm. It's not normal in nature, so it would stand out.
Yes. And you'd write horizontally on the horizontal part, and the upright part would just hold it in place, would mark, this is the way, this is the path. And it is a depiction of the lintel and upright
cross beam
the cross beam that creates the doorway of Pesach Passover.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it and finally, because it does mean signature, if we get the 22 letters, Yahweh signing his name, it says, this is my signature. You can trust this because I'm signing it. All right, that being the case, here's the first of the last eight, the stanza brought to us by the letter Tau. It says, let's actually choose to approach and come near. This is the word karab. Singing and rejoicing with me, Rina. Before your presence, La Pana, Yahweh, in the manner, which is Ka, consistent with your word, Dabar, provides understanding when we choose to thoughtfully evaluate it, Bien. So, what's the first word here is Karab.
Mm-hmm.
Karab is used in four of the seven invitations to meet. It is used in conjunction with the invitation where we're asked to come close to approach, coming near the feminine manifestation of Yahweh's light in four of the seven mikra. Karab is to approach. If you're invited to a party, would it not make some sense sometime during that party to approach the host?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, the guy whose name is at the bottom of the invitation. You know, he puts your name at the top, Kirk, Larry, JB, mm-hmm. inviting you to a party. Signed, please come as you are, but on at this time, and in this way. And you show up at the party, wouldn't you at some time want to carob?
Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. All right.
Yeah, RSVP.
Now, does when he says so, let's actually choose to approach and come near. And by the way, isn't that the entire purpose of all the guidance that's been provided thus far in the Torah and this review of the Torah?
Absolutely.
There's not really much to it beyond that. It's the means to approach. Now, when he says if he wants, he's approaching Yahweh, is he approaching in fear and trepidation?
Absolutely not.
Is he approaching asking for forgiveness?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's one of the things that always strikes me about how often Christians want to ask for forgiveness, and I say, well, why? Why are you asking for forgiveness? What's the purpose?
You must be insecure.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, they also want to run around forgiving everybody, no matter how heinous they are. To prove how forgiving they are so they can be forgiven.
They can be forgiven. I think it ties to them, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
does it say that you ought to approach really quiet and concerned? Does it say you ought to approach humbly? How does it say you're supposed to approach here?
I bet Doe don't do it that way. Musically singing, rejoicing, happy.
Right, happy. He's come to know Yahweh better than anyone. And he says, so, come on, let's approach singing. Let's approach. You know, I can't carry a note in a bucket, but I'd like to. And, I think that one of the things to be perfected is the ability to sing. Otherwise, I'd be really annoying to everybody else. So, let's approach. Let's come near. Singing and rejoicing. Let's sing a happy song. Let's approach enthusiastically. And come before what? La Ana. Yeah, the face.
The face.
Of Yahweh. And La, the Hebrew preposition, which means to approach.
Approach.
It's only one letter. What's the letter?
Just a lamb. Just a lamb.
Yeah. And that is
old shepherd's staff again, isn't it?
A shepherd's staff. Well, that ties in nicely to the 23rd Psalm, doesn't it?
He certainly knows how to do this, doesn't he? He knows how to write a letter.
Yep. So singing and rejoicing.
Yeah.
With me, by the way, I forgot that part of it, but he's conducted the choir here, man. We're going to have when we're singing, the musical accompaniment and the lyrics could well be provided by Dode before your presence to approach your presence, which is your face. PNH is this word. PNH. Mm-hmm. What's the P?
The P is the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Shaped like a mouth, and
which conveys the word. Yeah, it's the spoken
word,
right?
Yeah,
spoken nourishment, words. Nourishing is spoken words. And for whom?
That's the people of the inheritance, people who are in inheritance.
Yeah, a child sperm, world. A child born with an inheritance. But is this child going to once this child is nourished by those spoken words and is born into this family with an inheritance, do they stay small and grovelly and a baby forever?
No, they're walking
with
and
the last
hands
letter.
Upright. Yeah, the hay walking.
Yeah, man.
Walking upright and behold and
right.
Observing.
You see, I don't think Yahweh would have any fun in eternity if we stayed immature.
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be any fun. I think it's all about growing. Always, it's about being partners and friends and companions and
discovering.
Discovering. Being adults. We're going to grow.
They're going out and blazing another trail,
Sure.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be things, there are about billions of things we have no clue of, It'll take all eternity to look at them,
Billions upon billions upon billions. So let's choose to approach and come near, singing and rejoicing with me before your presence, Yahweh. Now, this song and the meaning. So we've got two things here. We've got approaching Yahweh. We've got coming into his presence. We've got singing and rejoicing. How are we going to accomplish those things? That's a lot of things. Approaching him, coming into his presence, singing and rejoicing.
How are we going to accomplish that? Well,
didn't he say ka dabar?
Mm-hmm. According to the way, according to the ways of.
Mm-hmm.
And
your
what's
word.
The way? Well, we all know the path.
By responding after thoughtfully evaluating his words, like the path of the Moed Mikra is an example.
Exactly. So the song is going to be derived from his words. The means to approach is the guidance found in his word. The reason we're going to be rejoicing and not groveling is because of the promises in his word. The reason we can walk into his presence and not be annihilated is because of what it says and what we have learned from and accepted in his word. It doesn't say here that the Torah, let's see, what did Paul call it? Pornography, didn't he?
Pornography.
Pornero.
Can't save anybody.
Quote the Greek. Yep. And he's saying, no, your word. Maybe I'm confused here. Did Dode have a copy? Yeah, did Dode have a copy of Paul's letters?
No.
No.
Lucky him.
For what, firewood?
Warm up the
cave. So when he says, based upon your word, did at the time that Dode wrote these, had there been a single prophet?
No.
No?
Well, unless, you know.
No, the prophets start after him. I mean, Moshe predicted, yes, and Dode himself is predicting, but Moshe is mostly associated with the Torah and Dode with the Psalms.
Right.
None of the individuals we know as the prophet are the prophetic books. Not one had been written.
No.
Dode only had one thing. Only one thing. It was the Torah. That was the totality of Yahweh's word. And so it's the antithesis of Pauline Christianity. Pauline Christianity, you've got to discard the Torah and you accept Paul's gospel of grace. Dode is saying, no, I came into, and we're all going to come into, all singing and rejoicing, Yahweh's presence, based exclusively on his word, which was exclusively the Torah.
Astounding. It's astounding that anybody would take Paul's word when it's in opposition to Dode's word. But I guess it should be astounding because it's in opposition to Yahweh's word. So
when Yahweh said that he's going to establish his kingdom on earth for the 1,000-year celebration of Sukkah, I must have missed the part where he said it was going to be based on the kingdom of Paul.
The revelation went to Paul, right?
No, but you didn't miss it when you were pointing out who the man of in opposition to the Torah is, because he grows out of what is lowly and little, which is what Paulos means. So,
those who listen to him, they're abated. They become lowly and little. Go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to add, it may be germane to this. This morning I had a rhetorical question when we were doing Yahweh's name and we were doing the Yod. And, you know, that's an authority that's reaching down to lift us up. Is there any authority anywhere in history, any king that's going down to lift anyone up? I'm not talking about his cronies. I'm talking about that offers that blanket offer to the world to lift it up. So you can't get... Lord,
you can't get that anywhere.
That out of Yahweh's name.
No, what was the purpose of Roman Catholicism? Was to suppress the people to empower the clerics. Yeah. What was the purpose of lords, kings, and queens? To suppress the people to claim God's authority to rule. What was the purpose of armies?
To enforce it.
Right. What's the purpose of laws and the fact that governments never adhere to their own rules?
Well, to keep those that are the elite in power, lording over everyone else. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so what he says here is, you're right, he's the, as Larry would say, is the only square deal in town. Your word, and what does his word provide? Is his word providing the background for praise music? Is it
not at all.
Providing the basis for faith? What is it? What does he say it's providing?
The pathway home that Larry just talked about.
Yeah,
how to reconcile, to rescue us from this world so we can be with him and his family.
Yep, and here he has debar followed by my favorite
bien.
Verb in all of the Hebrew language, bien.
Bien, yeah.
Yeah, to understand by making connections. So he is telling us that if you want to sing this song with him and to approach coming into the presence of Yahweh rejoicing, then it's in your interest to do what he has done, which is to examine the words and make connections so that you understand. Now, I've shared on this program lots of times that my single biggest beef with the Torah prophets and Psalms was that God doesn't just simply lay it out for us. You really have to think your way through it. You've got to make the connections. You've got to work to understand. Now, once you get there, it is extraordinarily easy. In fact, you kick yourself for not getting it earlier. But you've really got to work through it. And what Dode is saying is, yeah, that's it. The process is the words lead to understanding when you make the proper connections. And so, Debar Bien. Debar is another one of those rather spectacular words. It begins with the D, which is what?
The delete, the doorway, which of course is the entryway to his home.
Right.
The Passover door, yeah.
What's the next letter?
Oh, that would be the family home, the symbol for that.
So the word is the doorway to the family home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it's for
yes.
And it's for those people who obviously are thinking with their minds.
Thought about it.
Observing,
yeah.
And thought about it. Seeing their eyes, using their eyes and ears to hear and to read. And then they have, of course, the mouth to respond. Because it has to
DVR.
Be a response.
Yeah, drawn as a doorway, as a picture of a family home, and as a person observing, listening, seeing, thinking. And so the word, debar, the Hebrew word for word, is a person coming to know and understand the doorway to God's home and to be part of his family.
Can I ask you something here, Yon?
Mm-hmm.
Or J.B.? Kirk, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
How hard is it? You know, I believe, okay, now this is just me. I mean, I'm thankful that Craig did the work he did, okay?
Right.
Because I wouldn't know what I know without it. I know that for a fact. You know, when I finally got my hands on something that could be trusted, I knew it. I knew it that minute. I really knew it. Now, what do you suppose it is that stops people, that, you know, from being thoughtful enough? I mean, Yahweh doesn't say every other person is going to be saved and going to be in my family because I'm a forgiving, jovial soul and all this. I mean, he doesn't say any of that.
Right.
That's not even his. You know, he says, "Look, I'm going to this is my offer." Not that most people even know what the offer is,
right.
And then for those who care to accept this offer, it's given to you freely. Now, how hard is it?
Exactly.
I think there's a couple of things.
Indoctrination.
People don't like change, you know, regardless of what it is. They don't like change. And I think, what was Yada used to say? What did you... my mind's going a little blank, but you...
Yeah, let me share with you
about
what
the family. You don't want to lose the family, and you want to see...
Yeah, you don't
want to
lose
dead.
The family.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that struck me all through this is that I must have received 1,000 letters from people with the hypotheticals. Well, what about? You know, what about the person that has not had the access to the same information that you've had? What about the person that's mentally handicapped, can't figure this out? What about the person that's just too busy with their lives to know? And they always want to, rather than talk about, you know, is there an excuse for me? You know, what about the person that only knew, you know, this religion and believed with all their heart in that religion? And my answer was always the same. I said, you know, it's not my job. to determine who becomes part of Yahweh's family based upon exceptions. I don't know. If you were asking me to suppose, I would suppose that my conclusion based on the evidence would be that there is somewhere between little and no wiggle room. That would be my answer. But it's not my choice, not my decision. All I can tell you is that there's a very specific path that has been laid out. There are five terms and conditions for participation. If you know what they are and accept them, you're in. So why would you care about what the exceptions might be?
Yeah.
If you have an ironclad path and God's promise on its veracity, why would you care about the hypotheticals? Why not simply come to know and understand what the path is and walk down it?
Well, in it also, didn't Yahweh say, you know, if you walk off and leave, you know, you're on your own. Yeah, it was a decision, and I'm sorry, your prodigy, your children, everything are subject to that move you made. If you came back, you came back, but it's like the prodigal son, he at least came back.
Right.
You know, but if he didn't come back, he would have suffered the consequences of his move, and if he had children, they would suffer it. You can't. Why has y'all got to go out there and do that? Worry about that.
Yeah, so I think the answer is
for why I don't listen to what Yah said. I'm looking at what Yah said, and I'm trying to do what he said.
Yeah, the positive, not the negative.
Yeah, for anybody that's saying, I want to know what the potential excuses are. I want to know what the hypotheticals might be. Why? Why not simply use your time that rather than speculating on what the exceptions might be, for which there may be none, and all indications are there are none, but why, instead of arguing over what the potential exceptions might be, why would you just simply focus on coming to know and accept what the proposal is, and then once you've come to know and accept the proposal, share it with others?
Sounds good to me.
What motivation would there be for any other option? Why would you care? No. So then we have, let her consistently come with a petition for mercy on my behalf before your presence in accordance with your promise, because I want you to deliver me. Natsal. Natsal is this kind of interesting word that is 50% pay attention to, focus on, observe, and 50% on favor, deliver, save. It's kind of an interesting word. It's not yatsa, yasha, which would mean to save, and it's not shamar, which would be to observe. But it's a word that is used a lot for example, a watchman over a flock of sheep or a watchman over a community. They would be natsal. They'd be paying attention. They'd be observing everything they could see to hope to keep the community or the flock safe. So there's this combination again of observance leads to security. So he's talking about her here, and the previous statement was about come into the presence, Karab, and I said that four of the seven Moed Mikres, four of the seven invitations to meet with God, we are encouraged to Karab, the feminine manifestation of Yahweh's light. Do you think maybe there's an explanation or a tie-in here with that and a reason for the her?
Oh, absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
I doubt it's coincident.
Yeah. We're invited to come into the presence of our spiritual mother during the seven invitations to meet with God because she adorns us in light, and she makes us appear perfect. So he is saying here, let her consistently come. I want her, which is the now. I do have to tell you here that. Her means third person feminine. And it would not be inappropriate in English to say let it. constantly come. And the reason that it works here is Dabar, word, is feminine. So do I think that there is a correlation here with the set-apart spirit? Yes. But directly, her here, the third person feminine, is addressing word. Now, there's not a significant difference between the set-apart spirit and the word, particularly followed by the last word that we read here, which was bien, understanding. I mean, when I receive an insight, something that helps make a connection in studying Yah's word, and these books are filled with those insights, set-apart spirit inspired. So she is the conveyor of understanding relative to the word. So I think it does mean both, but I have to be honest and say that it's a feminine pronoun for the express purpose of talking about the function of Yahweh's word. So it says, let it or her, the word, consistently come. I want her, speaking of his understanding of Yahweh's word, to pursue and include me with a petition for mercy on my behalf. So he's going to receive mercy, which is to receive undue favor, as a direct result of the consistent arrival of Yahweh's word and the understanding that he has derived from the word. So where, you know, Christianity will teach that salvation through grace and faith, Dode is teaching here that Yahweh's word leads to understanding, and the approach of understanding as it's derived from his word, it was leads to mercy. So Dode's position is the position that we have taken. Yes. Dode's position is that the words in the Torah lead to mercy, which is the a favorable and undeserved outcome. He did not say here that the death of God leads to salvation, did he?
No.
He didn't say that a new testament or a new covenant leads to salvation. What he says is that mercy is the direct result of understanding Yahweh's word.
You know where, you know, the 23rd Psalm where he says mercy? I found one of the translations to be, instead of mercy, it translated as covenant loyalty.
Wow. Yeah, relational family.
A covenant relationship,
right.
Family. It's a, right. You know, kindness because it's to one of kin or a set-apart,
right,
family, and also covenant loyalty.
Which, yeah.
And that was
there you mentioned that.
I mean, that was a Hebrew translation, not an English thing. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So they got
and,
it.
Yeah, they did. Larry, you mentioned quite often your disdain for people who say that they forgive those who are scumbags, who have done something horrible to, for example, to a family member.
Yeah,
and, you know,
and they're lying.
Like
and they're lying, too. I mean,
yeah,
they're just
yeah.
playing this
right.
self-deluded
right. But,
boob in hopes that somehow this...
If your son... going and apologizing or forgiving the guy who shot him...
Right. Stupid. Yeah, stupid. Stupid. But if your son or daughter or your wife or husband says something that's hurtful and they say, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I'm really sorry. Is it appropriate to forgive them?
Sure. Sure. And this is the forgiveness that is often spoken about. You know, when you're forgiving somebody, you're talking about your brother or sister. Now, considering thousands out of billions are going to be your brothers or sisters, that would not necessitate you forgiving serial killers that are out raping and murdering your daughters.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Because family members don't do that.
Correct.
And if they did, they'd be drummed right out of the family, in any decent
right.
family. So yeah. I don't understand the concept there, other than what Kurt said earlier, that they're just hoping to somehow deploy this facade in order to hide behind it so they can be forgiven for who they really are. Well, why not accept who you really are rather than being
yeah.
delusional, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So let her, let it, the understanding that's derived from the word, come with a petition for mercy on my behalf before your presence in accordance with your Imra, your promise. And Imra is a blend of promise and word. So it's the promise that Yahweh has made, the vows that he has made in his testimony, because I want you to save me. So don't say, you know, yeah, I do. I want to be rescued. I want to be protected. I want to have Yahweh pay attention to me. And I realize that the way to accomplish that, the path to salvation, the path to being important to Yahweh, to receive his mercy, is to focus on the mercy that is derived from an understanding of his testimony. No faith, no anything other than simply words leading to understanding. And it's the profound difference between the Old and the New Testament. You know, the New Testament is your salvation is based on faith in something that is never explained. And in the Torah, your salvation is based on observing Yahweh's Torah testimony, coming to know what he said, understanding what he's offering, and accepting that that offer, the terms and conditions to be part of his family. They're complete opposites. Now, from here we have, my lips will pour out songs of adoration and thanksgiving to you because you consistently teach me. And here he's saying, you teach me your clearly communicated prescriptions of what I should do in life to live, your choke. You know, it's been a while since we came across one of the four big words in the Torah, that Dode has said throughout, you should pay attention to the choke, which are the things that cut you into this relationship, the things that were etched in stone, inscribed in the Torah, that cut us into the relationship, the pakudim, which is those instructions that enable us to respond appropriately, the mitzvot, which is the means that Yahweh uses to reconcile our relationship with him and resolve disputes, and the mizpat, which are the terms and conditions of the covenant. Those are the four things.
And, of course, Christianity rips off a part of the mishpat. That's what they do.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, they take a small part. It's really a small part. I mean, it's a major deal, but they take just a little section out of one of the things he's doing to settle all disputes, which are the seven Moed Mikra. They pick up one and say, that's all I got to do.
Yeah,
I don't really have to listen to them.
Yeah, but the one that they take, which they would call Pentecost, because there isn't a Christian that celebrates Pesach. They think that their God died for them on a cross and rose on Easter. So
they're not
celebrating.
You're right.
They're not celebrating.
Well, they rip off a small part of it and then corrupt it.
The only one that they actually celebrate is Pentecost, which is by the wrong name, because when you celebrate it as Pentecost, what you're saying is, I have no clue what Shabuah means. The Shabuah is the promise of seven. Seven,
the yobel,
the vow,
everything.
Or the promise, the oath of the Shabbat. And there they claim that Pentecost is the birth of their church and don't realize that God didn't have a church. He has Mikra. He doesn't have a church. And
yeah, they don't even know it's about enrichment and empowerment.
Right.
And
Shibuya, you know, they think that their church was born when, in fact, it's the enrichment and the empowerment of the beneficiaries of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukkudim. Yahweh has made a promise that he's going to empower and enrich his children so that his children can grow up and can stand up and explore the universe with him so that we're all have fun to be around. So here we have that Dode is going to be appreciative. I'm not really one that says 10 times a day, boy, I'm really thankful for what you've done. But I'm thankful. And Dode says, you know, there's a time that we're going to sing our appreciation for the favor that we have received as a result of Yahweh's promises. You know, when somebody honors a promise, I'm appreciative. And this is a big promise. And he is saying that he is specifically thankful for what Yahweh has consistently taught him. I mean, that is the bottom line. We've come to know what we know. We've come to celebrate this relationship because we've learned. We've paid attention to the Torah, which teaches us. We've learned. And here he is not just talking about Yahweh teaching him his Imra, which is his promised word, but specifically the choke. So Yahweh has taught Dode through his Torah what he inscribed, what he etched in stone that cuts us into the relationship. This is a powerful summary of everything we've read thus far. He says, my tongue elects to continually sing your word because of all of the conditions of your relationship agreement are righteous and vindicating. Well, I've long presented the covenant as five conditions and five benefits. Mm-hmm. And every time I talk about five conditions and five benefits, it's true that the conditions are real conditions. You either come to know them, understand them, accept them, act upon them, or you're outside the family.
Yeah, I had somebody this week talking about, and they made a note about unconditional love. I said, there is no such thing.
Yeah, there is no such thing.
I mean, really, there's no such thing in anybody's world.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
The closest thing I've come to is a dog. A dog will love you almost no matter what. That is the closest thing I've ever come to unconditional love.
Yeah, but do you shelter your dog? Do you feed your dog?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pet your dog? Do you speak nicely
to
your dog? Do you play with your dog? Do you take your dog for walks?
Yeah.
But I've seen people who will abuse their dogs over and over, deny them all that, and the dog still loves them.
Yeah,
no, I don't
love them or scared of
them. Like I said, it's the closest thing I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Dogs are the most loyal animals on the world.
They are, but 99.99% of the time, it's not unconditional.
True that.
Yeah, there's conditions to everything, and there's certainly terms and conditions. You know, that's what we're looking
at. And while that's true,
I guarantee you, if I went and cheated on my wife and did all sorts of other things to humiliate and shame her, I'm pretty sure she would stop loving me. And she loves me a lot.
Yeah,
true. You mentioned myself.
And I would want her to. I don't want her to love me unconditionally.
Right. But the point I was going to make, actually, is that the conditions are all benefits. And that's what Dode has said here, is that all of the conditions are righteous and vindicating. All of the conditions of the covenant are upright. So there's not a single condition of the covenant that has you sacrifice anything. There's no condition of the covenant that has you grovel. Every condition of the covenant is upright. It's vindicating. Even the conditions are in our interest. We don't lose anything when we walk away from politics and religion. In fact, we gain a lot.
We gain reality.
We
gain reality. Look, you know, when
perspective,
I remember it wasn't all that long ago, you know, you had asked on, I think it was on this show, you know, I think you asked me directly, why do you think he fulfilled the first four? And I said, right. You know, I mean, all I could come up with at the time was that, you know, the fall Moed Mikra are designed to coincide with the fall of man. And he said, well, they do, but that's not really what I'm looking for here. It's because these five terms and conditions are fulfilled to get the five benefits out of the first four Moed Mikra,
correct.
Which are what? Eternity.
Right.
Their perfection. They're being adopted
right.
into the family and then enriched and empowered. There's the five
right.
of them. That's Shavuot.
Right.
That's you
it.
Know, this weekend. You know, some of you will
right.
be doing it tomorrow night, I'm assuming. I do it Sunday evening because I went
right.
I went the other route. But,
right.
yeah, that's just the way it is. I mean, these things are fulfilled. Somebody had asked in Unpopular, do you think now you wait in Sheol? My answer to that is absolutely not.
Okay, no.
I remember as a Christian sitting in a Bible study, and one of the teachers said, well, what he did in Sheol, he had to do something to get the keys to death. Well, what he didn't realize is that he fulfilling Moed, I know, it's just so, like this key to the doorway of death. What he was doing
sounds like
was
something out of Greek mythology or something.
Just
the afterlife to get the keys of death.
Yeah, this was many years ago I sat through that nonsense.
It sounds
you know,
like reading from the Odyssey or something.
Right.
Yeah, the fact is that all five of the conditions of the covenant are advantages for us. They're benefits. And Larry's right. There's a reason that he fulfilled the first four Mikra. And there's a reason he didn't fulfill three of them or five of them. And without him fulfilling the first four Moed Mikra, then his promise, his covenant promises to us go unenabled. You know, that's the promise is all based upon those first four. You know, he did not promise that we would be his troubadours, did he? I don't see a covenant benefit where it says you're going to be able to shout out a warning and to share the path. Is there any one of the benefits where he told Abraham, hey, Abraham, after you've been empowered and enriched, I got one more. I got a sixth benefit of the covenant, and that is you're going to be my troubadour. No. It is the natural path that a beneficiary of something wonderful will do. When you've been cut into the best club, the best organization in the universe, you're prone to share it. So it's just a natural outgrowth, a consequence, if you will, of what we have gained. We want to share.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the next one, which is six, which is reconciliation, he can't fulfill reconciliation because his children, Yehuda and Yisrael, haven't recognized who he is yet.
Well, at that time, they weren't even back in the country. They weren't, you know, they're leaving the country before they get to come back. So you got a lot of stuff can't happen till that happens.
And Yahweh can't reconcile his relationship with his children until his children change their approach and attitude and perspective towards him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's God. He can do a lot of stuff. He can't fix relationships. He can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He can't reconcile a relationship with someone who is still clinging to the things that he opposes. So there is a time when the sixth can be fulfilled, but it can't be fulfilled until Yisrael and Yehuda is so desperate.
Are reconciled. Yeah.
That they finally say, we've been self-reliant all of this time, and it hasn't worked out for us. We've been misled. We now want to shout out your name, even though we've been told not to do it. And we want to embrace your Torah and toss away the Talmud. And we want to reconcile our relationship. And once they come to that position, then he can fulfill the sixth. And he can't fulfill the seventh because his formula is 6 + 1 = 7. We're not through the sixth day yet.
Mm-mm. No, it has to come in his time. I mean, sorry.
Well, you know, if there was any way that I would describe... the Jewish state, it would be self-reliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is exactly
the idea.
How I would describe the people of Israel today. You know, it's hey, hoorah! You know, the IDF's going to change us, and we're going to stand up, and this isn't going to happen, and on and
mandatory
on.
Mandatory military service, best trained troops in the world, that flying the best equipment, and they consistently beat the Muslims with odds that are 100-1 against them, and so they are self-reliant. Now, it's interesting that over the past 30 or 40 years, the Jews have become, 80% of Jews now are agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jewish religion is losing adherence at a staggering rate, and yet there's still an affinity with Jews for being Jewish, but not for the religion. So it's becoming easier, and then when that reliance on the IDF, on Jewish solidarity and ingenuity and all of that sort of thing, when that falters, when they find that the United States is genuinely an adversary rather than an ally, when following the fall of Damascus and the severing of Israel at the waist where the country becomes indefensible, that following all that, and there are more Muslims flooding into Israel than there are bullets and bombs, you know, somewhere along that way, they're going to say, all right, we tried it our way, it didn't work. And
well, I think that's why those 7 years are there.
Isn't that true of every time that Yisrael makes an ally out of someone rather than Yahweh, it still ends this way?
How many times do you have to be lied to by people where you realize they're lying to you? They've given you false hope before you finally say, okay, well, now
this
what
one?
I need to do is I need to change. I can't rely on them anymore. So here we have Dode has come to rely on and is thankful for Yahweh teaching him the inscribed means to be cut into the relationship. And where do you think Yahweh taught him that?
Right in the old Torah.
Right in the Torah. So he says that the Torah was for teaching, Lamad. You have continually instructed, guided, directed, and training me so that I can understand. My tongue elects to continually sing your word. Because of all of the terms and conditions of your relationship agreement are righteous and vindicating. You know, word again, Imra, this time it's a combination of word and promise.
Mm-hmm.
Dode has this, you know, you always say, someone has a broken record if they're saying the same thing over and over again. Isn't Dode just saying the same thing over and over again? The lyrics for his songs are derived from Yahweh's word.
Mm-hmm.
If you're singing Yahweh's song, you know, Larry, I've said this a gazillion times, but you know, your approach to every objection is to share Yahweh's word.
Yeah.
Dode's approach to every concern, every opportunity is to sing Yahweh's word.
That's right.
What are the odds that you could ever be wrong? If you're
they're
just
slim to none.
I don't have to
concern myself with who I misled today. You know,
right.
I don't have to worry about that.
Right. It's Dode's he's in a rut here. It happens to be the ultimate rut. He's in the path, and the path is, you know, if I just keep on repeating and joyfully, thoughtfully singing, rejoicing based upon what I have learned from the word, it's all going to work out just great. Now here he adds another one of the favorite words, mitzvah, the terms and conditions of the relationship agreement. And he says the mitzvah are vindicating. So the conditions of the covenant lead to our vindication. You know, what are they? The first is to walk away from religion and politics. Well, that's the first step towards vindication. The second is, rather than trusting in religion and militaries and politics and politicians, to instead trust in Yahweh. That's the second. That leads to vindication. When you trust Yah, that leads to vindication. What's the third step? To walk to me and become perfect. Well, son of a gun, isn't there a singular path that Yahweh blazed in the Torah?
Mm-hmm.
Pesach, Matzah, Bekudim, Shavuah, Teruah, Kippurim, and Sukkah. Walk to him and become perfect. And the next one is to observe, closely examine, carefully consider the terms and conditions of the covenant. And then to show your commitment, your acceptance, by circumcising as parents, by circumcising your sons on the eighth day, so that you and they remember. That's it. And those, that path, Dode is saying, that's the path that leads to vindication. The Hebrew word for tzedak is the Hebrew word for the kind of salvation that Yahweh provides. And tzedak means to be made upright. When you're upright, you know that person that said, you know, I'm going to be judged by my maker, or somebody's going to be judged by their maker. No, no, no. Yahweh's idea of vindication is you're vindicated so you're not judged. And to demonstrate vindication, you're upright in his presence.
To Larry's point, that first letter, you know, in tzedak is a man laying down, resting, competent,
yeah.
You know. So, I mean, if you're trying to do something to get become righteous, you miss the boat. I mean, it even starts with a letter that's a man just sitting there resting, waiting, enjoying
yeah.
the fact it's done for him.
It's done for us. Right. Isn't that beautiful that the Hebrew mm-hmm. word for upright, to be righteous, yeah. to be vindicated, to be forgiven, that the first letter of that word shows a person relaxing, laying
mm-hmm.
down.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Yep. And the next two letters in tzedak, it's the TS and then the D and the Q.
D and the Q, yes.
Yeah. The D is the doorway, isn't it?
Absolutely, Passover doorway. And then the Q, of course, is the sun coming up, a new day, all the promises of the new day.
Yeah, time and light, to be
light.
Enlightened, to have the amount of light that you're surrounded by to increase.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're allowing this to happen to you based upon the terms and conditions of the covenant, you're allowing it to happen to you, that you are going to be enlightened in this way.
Wait a minute. Where's the part where I have to beg him to forgive me in there?
No, you know, the doorway to Yahweh's home is,
you walk
is for those who, and once you go through that doorway, you're enlightened, mm-hmm. and there's nothing that we do on our part to receive this vindication. But isn't Yahweh's means
yes.
to make us purpose to engulf us in his light, adorn
Absolutely.
Us in his light?
Absolutely.
Why it ends in with the Q.
Mm-hmm.
So my tongue elects to continually sing your word because all of the terms and conditions of your relationship agreement are righteous and vindicating. So Dode has said the exact opposite of Paul. Paul said the Torah cannot save. Dode has said every word that is in association with the terms and conditions of your covenant, every word saves. They're exactly the opposite. But Dode also said something here that's profound. He didn't say that salvation was based upon God dying. He didn't say salvation was based upon four spiritual laws. He didn't say salvation was based upon forgiveness, did he?
Mm-mm.
He didn't say salvation is based upon confessing my sins.
No.
No. He said that
that's not even it. And then he always said, you turn from what you're doing and go down this path.
Right.
That's not
he said to be righteous and to be vindicated, that's based on the terms and conditions of the covenant. It's a byproduct of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody wants to be saved. It's a byproduct of the covenant. And that's
I
what he's saying,
Yahweh.
Yeah. Well,
the rest of it takes care of itself.
Yeah, the rest of it takes care of itself. And that's what he is saying here. It's the terms and conditions for participation in the covenant, the mitzvah, that lead to us being upright, innocent. It's the reason why if you're a child in the covenant, you never have to ask for forgiveness. Ever.
You know, if we go back just a little bit there, I just failed to mention this. I meant to. And I think this is just really, really important. He said, I actually respond to the summons consistently, testify as a witness, speaking truthfully while genuinely conveying accurate information regarding your word. See, that's really the problem with most people. It's not genuine, and it's not accurate. And, you know, to present Yahweh as a non-religious deity who wants to be viewed as a, you know, as an individual, we know that because he says it, and that's the way he did it with Abraham and with everybody else. He didn't say, get on your knees. One of the really profound things you said over the last years has been, you know, I don't put Yahweh on a pedestal. And I thought, well, that's the best way to put it.
I don't.
You know, yeah. Well, nobody would enjoy an eternity unless they really had some major issues, you know, people putting them on a pedestal and acting. And it's an act at that point.
Right.
You know, that
you know,
you
it's one of the things
so
I was always struggling with is this name, this title, God, and the title Father. Yahweh was only really got two titles, Dad, Father, and God, Almighty. Both words start with a ram's head. One has a ram's head and a family. One has a ram's head and a staff. So if he's the shepherd, he's saying, I'm also one of the sheep. And if he is the, that's God, Father.
That's pretty profound.
Because I am the family, but I'm part of the family.
Mm-hmm. That's profound. It is profound, but see, people don't want to see it that way. Yeah,
it is
profound, especially if you put that side by side with religion. It's going to go across like what he really said, as opposed to the religious verses that we read that say nothing at all, except fear me, praise me, love me.
It's the same thing as God saying, "Okay, I realize that that currently I'm in the seventh dimension, and therefore I'm infinitely greater than my children." But if I lift my children up, if I enrich and empower them, I can make that difference null. I can make them just like me. And so rather than wanting to be bigger and more powerful and more knowledgeable than we are, he wants to make us just like him.
Yeah, but
he wants us
what
to identify with him as our bud, as our friend, as our companion.
He wants to accurately convey his nature. I mean, that's what everything's lacking out there. You know, if I thought that I had to walk into a room with somebody who was the ultimate judge, man, I'd be shaken, you know, especially if I knew my entire existence, depended on this act. You know, thankfully, I don't have to act.
Right.
You know,
he's saying, no, I want to be known as an individual. I just want... When Yahweh used the term ish, individual, to describe himself as he formed the covenant with Abraham and with Sarah. I'm an individual. And when they bowed down before him and got on their face, he said, come on, stand up. When they mocked him by laughing at him, when he said that, you know, Sarah, you're 90 and this old fart over here, he's 100 and you're going to have a kid. And they broke out laughing and mocking him. He says, okay, all right, yeah, it's pretty funny, I get it. So name him Laughter, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's...
There you
that's
go.
So many times...
I got a sense of humor.
Yeah, people are stepping into the covenant, okay, and they're serious about it. And Renee's a fine example. I've had other examples where a woman's going through a divorce and all these messianics told her she'll die for this and all this other nonsense.
Oh, my.
They just can't back off. You know, If
how many wives did Dode have?
700. You know, if I have to rely on my own profession.
Was Dode condemned because he committed adultery? Because he had a divorce?
No.
No. Should this woman be concerned that her relationship with Jan was somehow going to be messed up because she had a messed up relationship with some guy?
No. And I told her as much. I said, just stop listening to these people. You know, just stop listening to them. You know, because they're trying to carry their religion into the family home. They're trying to advance the idea that they understand how to be perfectly religious.
You know, it's interesting that when Yahweh talks about divorce, it's really simple. He says, you know, if you don't get along, you want to get divorced, then write it down. You know, it should be a simple statement on written down that you want separation. And there you go. That's it.
That's what's in the Torah.
That's what's in the Torah.
Your relationship with Yahweh.
Yeah. By the way, you know, his thing there is the same. You know, I've written down the marriage vow. And you want to be married, great. You don't want to be married, that's okay too. Just tell me you don't want to be married. I can live with that. That's fine. Just make your choice.
That's your call.
That's your call. But you know, if you want to get a divorce, which is your call, don't be taking some rival back into and think you can come back in the home. You're just not going to do that. You know, you're not going to do it. So, you know, Dode is absolute proof that there is only one sin that is unforgivable. The one thing that Dode never did. Dode did a lot of stupid stuff, but Dode never deliberately led someone away from Yahweh. His whole life was leading people to Yahweh, not away from him, and diminishing the importance of Yahweh's name and leading people towards lifelessness is the unforgivable sin.
Yeah,
now,
that will
get
not
you in a lot of trouble.
Fail to be punished. People are put themselves in a teaching role, obviously, you know, rather than a sharing role. Like, you know, sharing Yahweh's words and knowing Yahweh's words and being able to combat people with Yahweh's words is not teaching. It's just sharing his words. But I would never try to set myself up as a teacher. However, people who are honestly misleading people towards Shoah are putting themselves in a teacher role. Or
yeah, and you know,
power.
I have a little, you know, this a little more comfort level with the idea of I think we can teach how to translate. I think we can teach the proper perspective. I think we can teach what the letters are drawn as and what they convey. I mean, I think we can teach folks Yahweh's words, and I think we could be part of the process of helping people learn and understand Yahweh's words. Now, Yahweh is the teacher, and all we're doing is playing a role here to help people understand the teacher. Now, it's not that the teacher's hard to understand, but sometimes it's helpful to be pointed in the right direction and to be given the proper perspective and given the right tools and a little bit of a head start. It's like, you know, I taught my kids to ride a bicycle, and for a while, you know, I first showed them, and then, you know, I walked beside them, and I ran beside them, and, you know, after a while, they were off biking on their own. But it's helpful to have someone to play the role of a guide, and that's what you're doing. That's what all of us are attempting to do. I don't think there's, you know, we're not claiming that we are the teacher or that we have the lesson. Yahweh has the lesson.
Guiding instruction.
Yeah. You know, we're occasionally throwing a sign up and say, you know, it's this way. Sometimes we're putting a little footnote there and say, this is what this means and the best way to understand it. And, you know, let's provide a little perspective so you know why this conversation is occurring. So I think that if you look at Dode, Yahweh loved Dode, Dode is teaching us here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dode
Yahweh.
Is not.
As long as
yeah, Dode
Yahweh,
is not the
good.
Teacher. He's yeah. teaching us what Yahweh said. And I think that's what Teruah is all about, by the way.
Huh.
Teaching us what Yahweh said. Why would you think that in the fulfillment of Shavuah? Why do you think in the fulfillment of Shavuah, one of the things that is addressed is that those who were enriched and enlightened on this day were empowered to speak the languages of men? Why would they be enriched and empowered and then enabled to speak the various languages of men if their function wasn't to teach men what God had said?
Yeah, share his words, yeah.
He likes
exactly.
to work with us, though, too.
Right. Right.
But I've been in countless posts. Almost countless posts where you'll get some religious person saying, "I don't understand. Who are your followers?" I don't have any followers.
I have no followers.
Sheree's been in those
I
with
no
me,
followers.
So several other people.
If
yeah,
you
I,
are
I don't
following
know
me,
followers.
Please. Run
I am. Yes, I am a follower.
But I think those that are not going to be failed to be punished have put themselves in a quote, leadership role.
Yeah.
In fact,
even when I say I'm a follower, I get a little uncomfortable with that because I'm really not following God. Really not. I'm walking with him. You know, I don't think that even the children of Israel followed Yahweh. I think Yahweh walked with them.
Oh, that's a pretty profound thought, too. That's exactly right. I mean, that's what
yeah.
we're supposed to be doing, trying to gain a relationship, not a, hey, Spike, and he slaps you in the head a couple
yeah.
of times.
This path that yeah. Yahweh has of Pesach, Matzah, Bukurim, and Shavuah, isn't it an invitation to come into his presence?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
aren't
it
we,
is.
Into aren't reality. We walking with him? Aren't we partying with him? Aren't we celebrating with him? I don't think we're following. I don't think he wants
yeah,
us to
follow. Yeah, well, of course.
I don't think he yeah. wants us to follow. I think he really wants us to walk with.
And that goes right back to his true nature, which is what he was saying. I want to convey
exactly.
what's real over here, you know. And if as long as we're conveying what's real, we can't go wrong. I mean, that's
yeah.
my position.
You know, when I tell a Christian that God got down on his knees to lift me up.
Oh, yeah.
And that they just say, no, that my God would never get on his knees. I get on my knees to lift him up.
Yeah,
you
because
must be really
Satan's your man. He wants
you
to
must
see
be
on
really
your
strong
beaten
if you can
down.
Lift God up. Yeah, you must be really strong if you can lift God.
Really,
you're a lot more capable than I am if you can lift God up. No.
And at that point, you say, you know, Bible and Bebel share the same root.
Yeah. In my world, which happens to be Yahweh's world, Yahweh gets down on his knees to lift us up because he's not only capable of doing it, it's what he wants to do. And I'm a beneficiary because I need it and I enjoy it. It works out great for both of us. He enjoys it, and I benefit from it. How do you have a better situation than that? But when you tell them that, their view of God is so different. They, you know, their God is a God up there that has to be praised and has to be put on this pedestal. And, oh, how I love you and how perfect and how wonderful you are. And the God I know is the one who is telling me, you know, I really enjoy our relationship. You're fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy to be able to lift you up and to invite you into my family. I think that one of the healthiest things we can do relative to God is to not put him on the pedestal. Not put him on the throne. View him as dad and friend and tour guide and an individual who is as eager to spend time with us as we are to spend time with him. He's approachable. How many times have we read here, approach, come into the presence of, singing a song, being happy about it.
And laugh. I mean, you can't put them on a pedestal and then feel free to laugh and carry on. You'd be scared to death.
I told you earlier that one of the things I like is sarcasm. I like to joke around with somebody mm-hmm. to be able to kid and not have somebody be thin-skinned. I am convinced that God is that way. I'm convinced that you can poke fun and you can kid and you can be sarcastic. And rather than saying, you know, what right do you have to question what I'm doing there, pipsqueak, he's going to laugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't you do that with the family most of the time?
Yes.
Don't you tease one another and just kid one another?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
the relationship
exactly.
I have with everyone I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would it be different?
Right. But you would never, you know, let's say that you were in a business and you're going to meet the boss like it's 10 people above you. Are you going to walk in singing a song, old joyful, whistling a tune, and then, you know, slapping the boss on the back and calling him by first name? And are you going to do that?
Probably not.
You know, my eldest son works for GE, and the chairman of GE is like 50 levels above him. Do you think that in one of the group meetings where he's speaking to 3,000 people that my son's going to get up from the audience and walk up to him at the podium and give him a big hug and sing a song as he approaches him?
Of course not.
Not likely. No,
not likely.
No, that's not going to
happen. No. But I know somebody that's a CEO of the universe.
Yeah, and he would have no problem with that. That's
no
exactly
problem
right.
With it. Wouldn't be distracted, wouldn't be bothered, be thrilled with it. He said, you know, catchy tune. When did you learn to sing?
That reminds me, I had a... Just to get off track here a bit, but it's kind of a fun story. I had spent the evening over at a friend's house one night instead of going back to the beach when I was in the insurance business, and his dad was the head of all systems processing for Prudential. He was like a level 64, and Bill was going through these levels. He was now like a level 8, and Bill had his car in the shop, so his dad was coming to pick him up to take him to work. And I woke up and saw his dad there. He said, hi, Larry, how you doing? I said, I'm good. And Bill, he had to wake up, and Bill was running late, so I just yelled at him, Boo, how are you going to become a level 64 like that? His dad just looked down and shook his head.
You've got to have some fun. So it says, let it actually and always be your hand, which helps me. Because I have chosen your precepts, your instructions, which you have entrusted to us for guidance so that we can respond appropriately to you. Pakudam. This is the third of those four words. So let it actually and consistently be your hand, your yod. He had it figured out. He understood why Yahweh's name began with a yod.
Yod.
You know, it's Yahweh. He's talked about his Yahweh's word providing reconciliation, providing vindication. Yahweh's promises, which was his song, which is why he knew he was going to approach singing and walk right into the presence of God. Well, they're saying that word is equivalent to his hand. His hand is his word, which is the very thing that's going to lift us up. So let it actually and always be your hand, which helps me. So he's, you know, this idea that I don't think that God is the least bit bothered when we acknowledge that he gets down on his knees to lift us up. That's what Dode is saying. Your hand is what helps me. Dode isn't saying, I give you my hand to lift you up, God. No, he's saying Yahweh's hand is what helps him. Dode is not serving Yahweh, is he?
Mm-mm.
Yahweh is serving Dode.
Yeah, he wants to get to know Yahweh, and obviously he's done so. Again, you know, obviously everything in religion is as they say, back-asswards.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like looking in a mirror where everything's backwards. And you know, that's just another reason that you know who controls religion. That can't all be a giant accident. Because
you ever wonder what, you know, we walked by today one of those was a family clinic, what they call those things, Planned Parenthood. And there's always people outside, Christians praying. And you wonder
why.
You know, if you're asking your God 1,000 times to end abortion,
and
why
not
is
doing
your God
it.
Never responding? Why is your God not responding?
Yeah, they might want to consider that.
Yeah, you know, consider. You've got millions of prayers from millions of people asking God to end abortion, and nothing. Not a response, not a peep, not a lightning bolt, not a thunderclap. Nothing. You know, maybe you ought to stop. Maybe, you know, it's obviously isn't something that he's interested in doing. You know, so.
Especially in a land where they went their own way. Especially in a land where they honor all the sun god religions.
Right.
You know.
So he's saying here, it's Yahweh's hand that helps him. It, God is active doing what God says he's going to do. He's going to lift you up if you choose to pay attention to his words. If you come to know him, he's going to serve you in this way. And he says, I am going, that your hand will consistently help me because, not helping everybody, it's helping him because he has chosen his precepts, his pakudim, those instructions that help us respond properly. That's why God's going to lift him up. He's not lifting everybody up.
I made a note here. It was just off of a word picture, 38. And here's what it says. I mean, it's real simple. And the note's called The Real Definition of Humble. Because, you know, we're told to be humble in certain ways. And people want to take humble to mean, okay, I'm a rug mat everybody can pick on, which
right.
is not what it means.
No.
Permit me neither poverty nor wealth. Break bread for me as clearly communicated and prescribed, lest I be self-sufficient, and there we have religion, don't we, and deemed insufficient by you.
Yeah.
So all we're doing is what Dodd is pointing at, and that's
right.
being humble. You're saying, I didn't go my own way.
Yeah, it's Dodd saying, I didn't go my own way. I had nothing to do with this. I'm flawed. It's Moshe saying, you don't want me to speak for you. I don't speak well. It's the recognition that we're not qualified. We're not contributing anything to this. Got nothing to be proud of other than we've been adopted into God's family. I'm proud of that. I'm proud to know him. I'm proud to be his kid. But I'm not proud of anything I've accomplished. But I'm certainly proud to have received my adoption papers. Yeah. So he's got a very simple statement. I desire your salvation. I desire Yahusha, your deliverance, Yahweh. Your Torah makes me happy and brings me pleasure. So even his desire for deliverance, for rescue, for and salvation here also means I enjoy your freedom. You could just as easily translate Yahshua, I wish to be free. I desire to be free, to be delivered, to be rescued, Yahweh. Because what is it, if we're going to be saved, what is it we're going to be doing forever? Your Torah makes me happy and brings me pleasure.
We're going to be listening to guidance and instructions and be free.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Free to listen to Yahweh's guidance and instruction. And we're not talking about his teaching as it relates to, well, these are the rules of the road. No, it's him explaining how he conceived DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Him explaining how to approach that black hole so Craig don't get, you know, sucked in.
Yeah. Yeah, he says, you know, the event horizon there of this thing is pretty fascinating, and it's worth exploring. But, you know, stay away from that over there. That'll bite you. But over here, I'm going to create a, I'm going to turn a nebula into a star. You want to watch?
Yeah, I do.
You know, here I've got this language called DNA, and you've seen the results of the platypus. Let's have some fun with DNA. let's create some interesting animals, right? He's going to be teaching us what he knows.
Yeah, we're not finger painting in kindergarten any longer. This is
no, we're
this
in,
is
we're
the,
in the
time.
Seventh dimension and able to explore
yeah.
all the dimensions below us.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, how about create a whole world to live in? You could do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could do it.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Could think of it, you could do it.
Right, right. Let's just say that. You you have an idea of what you think the perfect planet and solar system would be like. And you have the power and the ability to go do it. And we get a group of us and we say, let's go over here and let's play it. Let's see what we can come up with. Why not? It'd be fun.
It's not unlike building your summer home or something, is it?
Right.
Let's go play.
Salvation is afforded to those who love Yahweh's teaching. Notice that it in the opposite order here, but that it's I'm going to be saved because I love Yahweh's teaching. Because he loves Yahweh's teaching, he's going to be saved. That's what you do. If you want to be delivered, you want to be free, fall in love with his teaching. That's one of the things where I even say, and we spent a lot of time, Kirk, on this and this week
mm-hmm.
talking about how it coming to know Yahweh initially is not easy. It takes diligence, takes focus, takes time. But the thing that is very often missed in the fact that it does take focus, it does take time, it takes work, is that there's nothing you can do that's more fun.
No, so you have to enjoy. You'll enjoy the process.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I enjoy playing golf. I enjoy studying Yahweh's word far more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still remember the first time I read through Yada Yah, and I literally was staying up until 3-4 in the morning. So I wouldn't get home from work till 10:30, 11:00 at night, and I would start mm-hmm. reading right where I left off.
Yeah.
And by the time I realized what time it was, I was like, I got to make myself stop and go to bed.
Right.
That's
how
much fun I was having with it.
Terry
yeah.
and I did the same thing. For a year, we just kept, and we would read to each other. Even parts that we'd already read, we'd say, now, did you hear this? And then, we'd reinforce it.
I can tell you there's nothing I personally enjoy more than studying his testimony, working on translations, coming up with the full kind of amplified meanings, and then looking at the roots and saying, wow, there is really deep teaching here. This is reinforcing something that we've learned. It's expanding our understanding and knowledge. And so what Dode is saying here is because that's what he enjoys, because he is just like us, he has fun learning from Yahweh, then he knows as a result, Yahweh wants Dode to be part of his eternity, and so God's going to deliver him. Same thing is true for us. There's a quid pro quo between loving the Torah and being part of Yahweh's family. Everyone that's part of Yahweh's family loves his teaching. If you love his teaching, you're going to want to be part of his family.
A Christian view of salvation is almost like a relief to be saved, whereas this is just this guy's happy. I mean, this guy's thrilled with the process. He's just enjoying the whole trip.
But he's even saying here, okay, Yahweh, you're saving me. Guess what I get to do?
I get to play.
Yippee.
This is great.
This is great because now I get to enjoy, I get to spend all of my time thrilled with and passionate about learning from you.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and by the way, I agree with Craig there. It's like the whole concept of all this joyousness is this bottom line. Sort of the base, salvation.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not taken with that.
You know what? And what's interesting here is he does have salvation again in this comment, but salvation was the means to something.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation here was the means to a passionate and enjoyable experience learning from Yahweh's teaching.
Yeah, well, that was a basic
benefiting
step.
From his guidance.
It wasn't the end result, that's for
right.
sure. And that's,
yeah.
you know, if
yeah.
all I had to look forward to is the drudgery of my life going on forever.
Yeah.
I
he says, you know, I'm
right now,
right,
you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, I desire your salvation, your deliverance, your freedom, Yahweh. Why? Because your Torah makes me happy. It brings me pleasure. My soul is literally and continually restored and kept alive by choice. And it elects to incessantly reflect your light because your means to resolve disputes and achieve justice genuinely and continually assist me. Well, there's the fourth. I mean, mm-hmm. Dode's been consistent all the way through here. There's four things you need to pay attention to. And here's the fourth. He's stated choke, pakudim, misfot, and now he's got the fourth, mitzvah. Excuse me, he's had mitzvah, now he's got the fourth, misfot, which is the means to resolve disputes and achieve justice.
The moed mikra.
Right, the moed mikra. Exactly. My soul literally and is literally and continually restored. Why? How does God restore our soul? By the way of the misfot, the means to resolve disputes. What is the means to resolve disputes? It's Pesach and Matzah, which leads to Bukkudim and Shabuah. All right?
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, but yet, any soul that doesn't attend the rest, I mean, you know, they have to take all the six steps to get to the seventh. I mean, they're going to be
right.
cut out. Whether they want to decide that the day Yahweh fulfills his promise to Abraham is important or not, on Yahweh's calendar, it's pretty important, you know.
Do you think you can jump
you
in this path at the fifth step? I mean, how many people can jump into this path at step five and without being made immortal, without being perfected, without being adopted, without being enriched and empowered, they're going to become troubadours? You're going to start at step five?
No, of course not.
No. Are you going to start at step six? Are you going to start at step seven and then go backwards? No. It's the misfot is taking the path right through the doorway to life, across the threshold of perfection. Be adopted into Yahweh's family. That's the means that he has to achieve justice.
Tell me something. Oh, sorry.
Uh-huh.
No, tell me something. How did the rabbis and the priests convince the Jews or the Yehudim that this was not the path? Now, I've been a Christian. No. They went off wild in this made up whatever. Mm. How did they convince them? It's right there in the Torah, and they saw the Torah. They could read that part.
Yeah, what they told them was that you're not qualified to read the Torah on your own. That only someone who has been trained as a scholar in the Torah is capable of analyzing it and making sense of it. And then it's the historical analysis and arguments of the scholars and rabbis of the past that provide the insights that you should read. So you should study the Talmud and the Mishnah because you're not qualified to read the Torah and understand it on your own. So if you were to meet with a religious Jew,
mm-hmm.
they would universally say, you're not qualified. You're not a scholar. You need to learn from the scholars. That's how they pull it off. And so what's the scholar trying to do? Say, you're too dumb to figure it out on your own. You need to listen to me.
I just can't believe they buy it. In the large numbers that they did, it should have been a sect somewhere, a group of people somewhere who said, no.
What's the most popular religion in the world?
Christianity. I understand that.
Christianity saying the same thing,
but I Paul say, exactly.
Yeah. Don't listen to that God.
He can't save.
But I, Paul, say, you know, God couldn't save you, but I figured out a way to save you. Listen to me.
That just floors me.
Yeah.
But he says, my soul is continually restored and kept alive and elects to always reflect your light.
Your light.
You know, the very thing that causes us to be infinite is we become light. So he's describing the means not only to be perfected, but to become immortal. Our soul reflects light. Yahweh's light. Because your means to resolve disputes and achieve justice genuinely and continually assist me. That's the proper perspective. Doth's not saying that he did something that resolved the disputes. He's just saying that, no, it's Yahweh's your light restores my soul and is the means to which you make me perfect. You know, if Yahweh shines his light on you, whatever darkness you might have had, it's just obliterated.
It's gone now.
Yeah. It's gone now. And that's what this says, is that Yahweh's means to restore our soul and to achieve justice is to shine his light on us so we reflect his light and then we appear perfect. And he says, I had wandered about like a lost sheep.
Great metaphor.
So I want you to seek to be responsible for and to do what is required on behalf of your servant. For indeed, I have not overlooked, lost sight of the significance of, nor failed to properly respond to your enduring testimony and restoring witness. This concludes with Iduth. Iduth is that which is eternal, that which is restoring. But it's not something that is not anything that is eternal or anything it's restoring. It's a very specific thing that is being called eternal and restoring. And that's Yahweh's testimony. Iduth is a combination of two sets of related words, and witness, restoring and eternal. And so Dode is saying, your testimony, Yahweh, is eternal. Your witness is restoring. And it is your testimony and your witness that he has focused on. He says, since I haven't overlooked these things, then therefore, Yahweh, you're going to take care of me. I want you to be responsible for me, he's saying. And what he's doing is saying, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
I've read what you've said. I understand your eternal witness. I understand your restoring testimony. And I want you to be responsible for me. Just like a child says to their father, they're going into a scary place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dad, take
care of me. Let's go.
Hold my hand. Yeah. Dad, protect me. He ends this whole thing by just saying, Dad, protect me. I want you to be responsible for me. I want you to do what's required for me. All because I've done one thing, Dad. I've paid attention to what you said. I know what you've said. I've paid attention to what you've said. I've responded to what you've said. Take care of me, Dad.
What a beautiful song.
Such is the conclusion. That's where it has all led.
Yeah, because he knew exactly where to respond. Sadly, what we get is people that are in the religion business pretending that, to respond, you're doing everything perfectly and, you know, tying your shoes a certain way and so forth. When
you know something, Larry, though? What Dode said here is really, really comforting to me because I, like Dode, wandered about like a lost sheep. I was a Christian. I was a patriot. I was very active politically. I wandered around like a lost sheep, man.
In the end, now that you know what you know, okay? Now that you know what you know, and, and I know these same feelings, believe me, I had them.
Right.
I was involved. I was out there. I was speaking on behalf of Alan Keyes and, you know.
Right.
Now that you know what you know, Uh-huh. How stupidly were we wandering around aimlessly? I mean, what? How do you do what's right when you don't even know what right is? I guess that's it. How do you respond when you have no idea how? Because you did think there was a God, and you did want to please him, and you thought he was with you.
Right.
But yet
everything
you did was worthless. I mean, really, in the ultimate end.
Well, now, I have to tell you that I knew that when I was up in front of a group and was leading a group prayer, that I was speaking to the people, not to God. I knew it. I knew I was a fake.
Yeah, that was embarrassing for me when they made me get up and do the closing prayer in these churches.
Right, because,
I could do it.
Right. I could do it, too. And they always wanted me to do it. And I knew it was a fake. And so I am grateful that Dode, was favorite son. I spent part of his life as a lost sheep because, well, I'm not his favorite son. I am his son, and I began my life as a lost sheep. So it's nice to know that that Yahweh created this plan for those of us who were lost.
Right. I mean, as we all were. I mean, I have to ask, you know, JB. I got to ask you, Kirk. I mean, what? Mm-hmm. Didn't you feel empty at the end of the day?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just couldn't put all the parts together. There's too many things. I mean, if you studied Christianity for 20 years like I did, I mean, really studied with a supposed scholar, you know, and had a lot of things right, but nothing important that was right. And I was still trying to figure out things. I mean, I read, by the time I got through Yada Yah and read enough correctly translated or English into English, you know, the Torah, and my perspective changed, and I could just see it, you know, and that was what I was looking for. I couldn't see it before. I couldn't connect enough dots because I just wasn't smart enough on my own. But when somebody points it out, you go, oh, gosh.
Yeah, how did I miss
so
all that?
Much sense.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I don't beat myself up anymore. I say, okay, I was stupid. I was stupid about a lot of things, so enough, you know.
I beat myself up, too.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand I was dumb, but thank goodness.
I think it's important that we go through the beat ourselves up phase, though.
Oh, I did.
Because
if
we didn't go through that phase, then it would be much more difficult to be patient with others that are just
coming
to embrace the
truth.
When you finally get your feet on the ground, you know, not even quite on the ground, but you're understanding, okay, I'm walking into the truth here. You feel absolutely inadequate. You know, that's one of the things that people hit me up in the message box for. Okay, well, now what do I do? What should I eat for Shabbat? Eat whatever you want. There's no eating instructions on Shabbat. Try to understand it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
just try to understand it, and the joy of the whole thing is the freedom in it, and the brilliance of the presentation that Yahweh put together, and how it all fits together so beautifully, and all these connections can be made, and you make this transition at some point along the way, and for me, and I think for many of us, it happened very early on the way, where you just say, my God. This is brilliant. Confirming. It's so real. It's so.
Well, we can't put into words. We can't put into words how seamless it is. You know, religious people often talk about, it's good to know God and I know Him and all this, but they don't because they don't understand His offer. They don't get His plan. They don't understand. It's perfect from start to finish. Nothing changes.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing important about Him. They know.
But still, when you first walked in, and that's something we got to get across to people, when they first walk in, you know, to the covenant and they're wanting to, you know, set apart these days. There isn't a lot we can do other than try to understand it and spend time trying to understand it. Am I wrong here?
Right.
No, that's
and
what,
the more,
that's what
but the
you're
more
asking
time
is.
You spend trying to understand it, the more you learn, the simpler the whole thing becomes and the more relaxed you become.
Right, but at first,
more comfortable you become.
When you first learn this, I can't imagine you, Craig, being uptight about this. But
no.
Even you, when you walked in, didn't you feel a little inadequate? Like, what am I supposed to do today? I mean, just
yeah,
a little.
Horribly inadequate.
Yeah, that was my tact. I mean, I just.
Yeah, horribly inadequate. And while I still feel inadequate in the sense of, I have no qualifications that would impress anybody, and so I feel totally inadequate from that point of view, I'm still, at this point now, I just am totally relaxed, totally free, totally comfortable, no concerns, no worries. It's just a, it feels like I've been home with Dad for all of my life.
Yeah, you know, I'm comfortable being inadequate at this point. Really.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about it.
Yeah, I'm not different. Comfortable being static.
No,
I'm only
not.
Comfortable growing. I got to grow. Got to learn. Have to come with an understanding today that I didn't have yesterday. Got to grow. I'm not content unless I'm growing.
Stagnation is the enemy.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's nice to be reinforced constantly when you go dig up another verse, another section. And you
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a better dot connector than I ever was since I met you, I tell you.
We're going to have a ball going through the 23rd Psalm. I mean, the two that I want to go through on this program in Shattering Mist is the 23rd, and then I want to go through the 91st.
Oh, really? Okay.
Nice.
Now, don't do Chubbuck yet. I'm only about halfway through Chubbuck section, so don't jump on that until I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah, and I do want to go back on that. I know we've been through it twice already. But
there's a whole bunch of them that's not in your book.
Yeah, I know, but we haven't finished it. So I really want to finish Chubbuck. I want to do the remaining chapters of Chubbuck, but... let's do the 23rd Psalm and then we'll do the 91st Psalm and then we'll go and return to Chubbuck. And you know, somewhere along the way range too, I'm just fascinated by the long swaths of time where Yahweh said, you know, I wanted to find somebody that I could convey my testimony to, but there was no one.
Doesn't that explain a lot though? Because we ask ourselves all the time, where was the people that knew
right.
it? They weren't.
Right.
Yeah, which is where in the movie Fury they misquoted it. Choose me! Choose me!
Right.
Yahweh was talking about doing it himself, which is...
Yeah,
but they, you know, it's so weird.
And you know, what's
Steve,
interesting
that is the religious
is
thing,
that,
isn't it?
Is that, well, I think what happens is that God does not choose those who ask him to choose him. He makes his choices, and all of those that he chooses are reluctant. You know, it's just the nature of it. We, like in eternity, I'm not volunteering for anything. I don't go along for the ride. I just want to be part of the family. You know, it's not in our nature as part of this family to seek some kind of promotion. It's just not in our nature.
I'm happy where I'm at.
Yeah, it's the thing that is the, you know, I don't think there's any other endeavor where an individual is most excited when somebody who has been down this path with them is transformed from learning to teaching. When everybody is contributing because everybody is learning and we're all sharing together, that's when it's really fun. So
Jason was really good all of a sudden out of the blue. Jason, I know Jason from before, but he's been doing his homework.
He has been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to hearing Roy, too. If he
and part of this, too, guys, is that how much more relaxed and enjoyable the Shabbat program is from the Shattering Mist, because we're only talking here to family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to explain these simple concepts, because we're just talking to family here.
Mm-hmm.
We all know the same things. We're all celebrating the same things. We're all reinforcing the same things. We're all enjoying the same things.
Exactly.
And I don't think there's one person here that isn't looking forward to meeting Doug.
No, hardly.
No, I don't think there's one person listening tonight that doesn't know, understand, and hasn't already accepted the terms and conditions of the covenant.
I wouldn't think so.
Maybe a handful of strays who happen to come along.
Some new folks up here.
Yeah, but the purpose of this program wasn't to introduce Yahweh's testimony to someone who is unaware of what he said and what he's offering. This program is for family. If you want to learn what it takes to become part of Yahweh's family, I mean, the books are free. Shattering Myths exists for you. IntroToGod.org, YadaYah.com. You know, if you're an agnostic, go to YadaYah.com. If you really want to know what God said because you know that God exists, go to IntroToGod.org. If you're still a Christian but know that there's something dreadfully wrong with the religion, you've got an open mind, you know, go to QuestioningPaul.com.
Be prepared to change your life, though.
Yeah, be prepared to change your life. Yeah, that's I was reading the beginning of Questioning Paul today, and it basically said that, you know. Are you prepared to change your life?
Oh, did it?
Or to have your life
changed? This person a long time,
huh? Yeah.
Wait, why do you not have on Shattered Myths, why do Christian people not call in?
Yeah, amazing. We've only had one. In the 3 years we've been doing it, we've only had one Christian call in.
I mean, they know who you are.
Yeah.
People know who you are.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Well, they ought to call in and beat you down with the words of Yahweh, but they can't. It's embarrassing when you have to stand in open opposition to the Creator that you supposedly care so much about. That's why they don't do it. There's the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to get scary for them, huh?
Oh, it's, you know, how would you like to try to convince our listeners that there's a Jesus, or there's a Christ, or there's a Trinity, or there's Sunday worship, or there's that God died, or that the Torah has been annulled? I mean, what chance would you have to pull that argument off?
Right. You might as well write a comic strip. But they do that and hand them out, don't they?
Right.
There are comic cracks. I mean,
my problem is, as a Christian, I knew most of that was not true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I read the first 20 pages, I said, I knew that was right. I knew that's right. He's right there. He's right there. He's right there. If his other part's right, then I'm really screwed up.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why the new chapter one of Questioning Paul says, you know, here's the 20 biggest lies of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go through them one after another. You know, and there is no chance whatsoever that any one of these lies is true.
No.
You know, and you think you've got a really good Christian debater? Have a call in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because I'm smart.
If you can find one who has the cojones to go toe-to-toe with you.
Well,
you know, it's not with me. It's just with,
no, with God's
what
word.
We come to understand about Yahweh.
Yeah.
You know, and
you find me a Christian who has the wherewithal to go toe-to-toe with God's word.
There you go.
I don't even know how you deal with it. Yeah, I don't even know how you deal with Hasatan being called Lord and then calling Yahweh Lord.
Right.
You can't deal with that. That's end of the conversation right now.
Well, especially when you got Yahweh saying he hates to be called Lord.
Exactly.
I mean, let's top it off with that. There's the cherry on top.
Or just deal with what our good friend Don always says. You know, he says, just go back to the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
When they want to talk about Paul, then who was the sheep in wolf's clothing? Or who was the wolf in sheep's clothing? Who was the false apostle of Ephesus? Who was the one who Yahweh was talking about, Yahusha was talking about, that would claim to have seen him in the wilderness that we should not follow?
That's
who was the
right
one
there
that he said would try to negate the Torah and destroy even the elect? Why don't you tell me who that is if it's not Paul?
Yeah.
Who else meets that criteria?
Yeah, that's a stunning
reality. Who was Yahweh talking about and Chapa Oak.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy whose name will be Sheol. This
right.
guy will be present during the fulfillment of the Moed.
Right.
This guy will mislead many Gentiles.
Right.
This guy will be proud and puffed up. This guy will talk in a circular fashion. And this
right.
guy will have people meeting all over the world in his name. And that's
right.
what goes on.
Yeah.
And they're
studying
what? They're studying Romans. They're
right.
studying Acts. And Acts, of course, is Luke writing down what Paul told him. So everything they do centers around Paul.
Right.
Every now and then, they might even bring up a prophet and misquote it. You know,
yeah,
like
but you
a
tell me,
liner.
How can God inspire somebody to contradict him?
Okay.
Well, I say on its face, look, when I see a name like Eliyah or Daniel or Zechariah or Yashaiah,
yeah.
and then I see, and here comes Paulos, he who is lowly and little. You know,
yeah.
Yahweh puts a lot into a name. He, a name's so important to him, he says he's going to give us one that only we'll know. And, I mean,
right.
it's just an awesome, he puts a great emphasis on names, especially
right.
his own.
Right.
And right. he's going to name a guy, yeah, this guy represents me, his name is He Who Is Lowly and Little Slash.
Oh, well, just think about that. What did
Yosha
say? The single most important line, I think, that Yosha ever uttered. I came in my father's name, which means his name is Yosha. I came in my father's name, and you've not accepted me. But one will come in his own name. Who do we know that claimed to speak for God, that changed his name, that came in his own name as opposed to the name he was given?
Only one.
And him you will accept. Paulos. Every time, there's only one person in all of human history that meets the criterion that God's warning is about.
And although they changed Yahochanan to John, and although they changed Matanyahu to Matthew, and although they changed Jacob to James, they
right.
did all that. And Shimon to the place where all these idols are found in Petrus. You know,
right.
Oh, boy, that's really awful. Then they did that. They didn't, the disciples themselves didn't do it. The religious copy editors did. But I'll tell you one name they kept straight, and that was Paulos.
You got it.
That's the only
that's
name
it.
They kept straight, as a matter
of fact.
They
even chained Shimon to Peter. They changed everybody's
Petrus.
Name. They changed Yosha to Jesus.
Yeah, right.
They changed everybody's name except Paul.
Yeah.
He came in his own name.
In the book named after the sun goddess, Biblia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Writing his own New Testament.
Yeah, you know, anybody
who's... don't call in a debate now.
Yeah, well, anybody who's straight and honest. I mean, Yahweh puts a great emphasis on names. I mean, a huge emphasis on names. If people, people may not respect names here in America, and maybe they don't mean anything here. I don't know.
Well,
I have no
English,
idea what
English doesn't mean anything in English most of the time.
Yeah, I have no idea what Larry means as an example. I have no idea at all. But I'll tell you, Yahweh puts a great emphasis on names, and to claim that the guy who's speaking in opposition to everything he ever said is named He Who Is Lowly and Little. You know, if you can't get around that one, I mean, if you can't sit down and see that for what it is, you're a witch below a moron. You don't
when
know
Yahweh anything. Lifts us up, is it to make us lowly and little? What is the purpose of Shabuah?
To enlighten us, make us bigger, better.
Our
and
empower us, to make us
really big.
Really big. Really
deal.
Big, really powerful.
Yeah.
All right, guys, so I got an early day tomorrow. Still, still trying to work out some things in Ohio so that I can be a grandpa and my wife can be a grandma. So we're leaving tomorrow morning at 7. No, two of them have fallen through during the inspection phase.
Ooh.
So we're going back to look again tomorrow and leaving really early. So we'll have to see how it all plays out.
But enjoy some time with the family.
Yeah. So thank you. Yeah. I look forward to being with you all on Monday and again on this Shabbat.
Okay.
Happy Shabuah.
Take care to all of you.
Okay.
Good
thank you, guys.
Good Shabbat to all of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.